This is 103.3 Waco Public Radio. The Build the Base campaign at KWBU began in June. Today, you'll hear in greater detail how the station is doing. On September 6th, we recorded this roundtable conversation featuring representatives from KWBU's staff and the board of directors. Board member Maxie Parrish of Baylor's Journalism Department moderates the discussion. Joining him are Ben Lacey, chairman of the board, Jason Cook, also a board member representing Baylor University, and station president Joe Riley. Here is a special broadcast of KWBU's State of the Station.
Well, good day, and welcome to all of our listeners. We're here today to talk about the State of the Station at KWBU. I'm joined by Jason Cook, Vice President for Marketing and Communications at Baylor University, Ben Lacey, Senior Vice President of Commercial Lending at Community Bank and Trust here in Waco, Joe Riley, President and CEO of KWBU, and I'm Maxie Parrish, a Senior Lecturer in Journalism at Baylor University. And Jason, Ben, and I are members of the KWBU board. And, of course, Joe is a employee, president, CEO of the station. And what we wanted to do today was just talk about the state of the station. KWBU is publicly supported. It's here for you, the listener. We strive for transparency in everything we do. So we think it's important for listeners to know exactly what's going on with your station and public radio nationwide. So we're going to start off with a discussion of really what's going on with the station. Joe, would you just give us a little bit about maybe the background, the history, operations, funding here at KWBU?
Sure, nuts and bolts. I can do that. I've been here about 10 years, so I sort of know these nuts and bolts that go back further than me. But Maxie, I know that you and Ben remember when there was not an NPR station here in Waco. KWBU went on the air, came on the air as an NPR station in July of 2000. So we're coming up on our 20th anniversary next July. 20 years here in Waco. And before KWBU started as an NPR station, this was the largest market in the country that was unserved by NPR. So there was a whole group of people who had for some time before that said, we really need an NPR station here. And in fact, you listeners, you've probably heard, I know Ben, you've talked about how you had to drive till you could hear Dallas sometimes, KERA.
And it was real chancy. You couldn't always get it.
So a group came together and put money together and actually brought the station here. Now, it was not quite that simple. This station is a subsidiary associated with Baylor University. And so it is Baylor's generosity that really makes this station possible here in Waco. And individuals support the station as we go. We're a small station. We've got a staff of about six, and that's the minimum for a Corporation for Public Broadcasting funded station. But all of that to say that we're here to serve Waco, and when we say we have a small station, we work to sound like as good a station you're going to find in any major market, even with the staff of six.
Mm-hmm. And Joe, you mentioned Baylor's support. Jason, you're a senior administrator at Baylor. Marketing and communications is your area. Tell us about Baylor and its support, and its really incredible commitment to this station.
Certainly, and we're very pleased to be a significant partner in KWBU. And you know, Joe mentioned that the station is a community resource, and it certainly is. But it's important to Baylor, and just look at the call letters KWBU. That BU obviously stands for Baylor University, as the university continues on our path to be a comprehensive university, you've got NPR stations around the country that have that close tie with higher education. It's extremely important, and for us at Baylor, we have made a significant push and put a stake in the ground that we want to be a research one, a tier one institution over the next decade. And it's a very big goal, but it's going to be important for us to have community resources like KWBU and the NPR affiliation that it has. And particularly as we go out and recruit faculty around the country from other institutions, from could be from larger markets around the country. They are really looking for cultural wealth. Mm-hmm. They're looking for community resources. And you know, you look from a faculty standpoint, and even from staff, the NPR affiliation, very rich programming that these stations provide, the arts, things of that nature. That, those are the community resources that that people want in, as they come into our community. And as we proceed on this path to be a Tier 1 institution, we need to have it.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more as a faculty member. You know, typically university faculty go someplace and stay for a while. You know, I've been at Baylor for 38 years, and that's not atypical. Because you get involved in an academic program. The program has funding and endowment. You have long-term research projects. There's some research projects in the sciences that take decades to come to fruition. And so you're seeing faculty that say, when I go here, it's for good. And so they're really looking at the community as a whole. What's there? What are the resources for the families? And, you know, quality of life issues, which KWBU, I think, helps tremendously in that area. And as a result, it really does enhance the quality of life here.
Yeah, most certainly. It is a valuable resource for us as an institution, but definitely for our greater community.
Yeah. Well, speaking of the community, Ben, you've been in Waco your whole life. Your family's been here a very, very long time. Talk a little bit about the community perspective and how, as a business leader, you see KWBU fitting into the landscape of Baylor's of Waco's community.
Sure, appreciate that. As you said, I did grow up here, born and raised. I followed the typical path at the time of leaving high school and going away to college, as most of my friends did.
We'll forgive you for that.
Well, yeah, I made it back. But as I've said before, growing up, public radio was something we would get from time to time. It was never a sure thing. Mm-hmm. If the wind was blowing correctly, the Dallas station would come in and you'd be able to hear what you wanted to. But my earliest memories are of riding with my father in the car, and that's what he listened to when he could. Mm-hmm. And I remember him talking about it at the time as an asset, as something that a community should have, and he was always disappointed that we didn't have our own station. Of course, I left after high school, had no real intention at the time of coming back. I thought there, you know, might be a possibility. But when I moved back to Texas eventually, I lived in Dallas for a time, which, of course, at that point did have public radio, and then just made the decision to move back to Waco, where I was greatly surprised and happy to find that in the meantime, a station had sprung up. Mm-hmm. It was icing on the cake, frankly. It made the move back a lot easier for me personally, and I was glad to have it and jumped right in. From the business community side of things, to call it an asset, I think, is underselling it. Mm-hmm. Programs like All Things Considered and Marketplace in particular give you a dose of news and market information and data in a format that you can't get anywhere else. There is a monetary value to that for someone that's having to, in my case, I work at a bank. I deal with market conditions every single day. Mm-hmm. And having that background that I get in the morning on the way into work and on the afternoon on the way home from work, it gives me an advantage. And I can't stress that enough. And so I would just encourage anyone listening to this and anyone that wants to support public radio that just consider it that way. Mm-hmm. It's an asset. It's a way for you to do your job better and to enjoy living.
That's a great perspective. And, you know, that really, when you think about it, dovetails with all the tremendous changes that have been taking place in Waco the past few years. I mean, we've gone from a community that people just drove through on I-35 to a destination. You know, Waco is one of the top tourist destinations in the state of Texas. Building is booming, hotel rooms flying up. It's just amazing to see the number of changes that are taking place. And of course, part of that was the new transmitter that
Correct.
A couple of Waco foundations supported for us. And for Waco to get on board and to support KWBU that way was very, very important. And of course, we need to look for other ways for Waco to support the station. But Jason, a lot of that support does come directly from Baylor. Baylor is a great partner, and you know, a lot of that has to do with not just monetary support, but the importance of telling local stories, because a lot of the content is not just national in scope, it's Waco in scope and it's Baylor in scope, because that's what this community wants.
Yeah, most certainly, Maxie. And if you look at the media situation around the country, everything is in short sound bites, and it's very fast moving, and you really don't get a lot of depth in a lot of context. And you know, NPR in the format that KWBU provides, we're actually able to introduce the community to people and to stories that may not have been told before. Mm-hmm. And that includes, a long-form conversation with Dr. Livingstone, the president of Baylor. She comes in once a month to talk about what's going on at the institution, but even providing an opportunity for our faculty members to come in and talk about their research and what's happening, or even some of our administrators, people you've never heard of, but are just incredible resources for the university and in the community. So we're able to do that through a weekly broadcast on Fridays called Baylor Connections. But then we also have the business school has the Baylor Business Review here. And then there's a lot of other community type program, whether it's Downtown Depot, which is one of my favorites that we have as part of the programming lineup, and Conversations with Creative Waco. So, I mean, these are people and voices that you really can only hear on KWBU. So I think it really opens the door up across our community and gives people a voice, but then also gives people an opportunity to, or listeners to hear for some incredible people who are making up Waco in this tremendous growth, as you were referring to.
Mm-hmm. And Joe is the full-time person here running the station. You know exactly how these local stories come to fruition. Takes a lot of effort, takes staff, takes time, takes resources. Tell us a little bit about some of the local programming that we have seen and just what it takes to make that happen.
A lot of what we do locally actually takes volunteers who come in and spend time here on their own. And Jason, we're so appreciative of Baylor providing this half hour every week to look at all that Baylor has to offer to the community. That's every week. This is work that has to be done. We have more local programming. We are offering more local programming now than we ever have in the history of the station. I remember my first board meeting here. Carlos Sanchez, who was on the board at the time, who was the editor of the Waco Tribune Herald at the time, said, you need to do local programming, and you need to increase the amount of local programming. Mm-hmm. And the board has said that and has stressed that to this day. The important thing for this station is telling those local stories, telling those stories of Baylor, telling those stories of Downtown Depot, telling about, we have a folk music program, I Hear America Singing, which a lot of people say, I didn't know that was local. It's local. It's produced by Ross Burns, who is a volunteer here in Waco. We have essentially 11 different local shows and segments that we do right now that cover all aspects, business and arts and Baylor and music. Let me tell you about Shout. Yeah. Shout Black Gospel Music Moments that Robert Darden.
My colleague.
Your colleague here at Baylor, and he does a weekly segment on Black Gospel. His collection actually is housed at the New Smithsonian African American Museum, and his segment that is produced here is offered nationally to NPR stations around the country. So KWBU sort of has an outsized mission in what we do. We're not just the little station. We're the little station that could, as some have said. We work to be as good as any of the larger stations using the resources we have. And a lot of that, as I said before, is volunteers and people come in. We do have some local. Caitlin Mills is here, and she produces news stories here for us. She's on staff. But we also do specials. We have partnered with the League of Women Voters to do candidate forums. And so we watch the community, and we're here to meet the needs of the community.
Yeah, and you know the board is made up of Wacoans. Many times boards have people from all over the Baylor Board of Regents, for example, which is the way it should be. But this is Waco Station, and these are people from this community. Ben, you're in a leadership position on the board. Tell us a little bit about how the board works, who it's comprised of, and some of the things that it actually does.
Sure. Well, I don't know that a in-depth description of board function makes for real riveting radio, but I'll take a high-level run through it. So, this year I'm serving as board chair. I'm happy to do it. I hope that I'm providing some support for Joe in his role, but I'm the board chair. And, of course, I'm going to do a very quick run-through of who our other board members are, because I think some listeners might be surprised at some of the people on the board and that they're big supporters of public radio. Of course, Jason Cook's here with us today. We've got John Culler, local attorney, Lois Ferguson, former Baylor employee, and now I believe she's doing wedding planning still. Lori Fogelman, of course, the vice president for media relations and crisis communication at Baylor. Mike Jones, who's with the city of Waco. Ben Kelly, another Baylor professor, Maxie, mm-hmm. one of your colleagues. President Livingstone, she was mentioned earlier, but she does have a seat on the board, and we're glad to have her. Maggie McCarthy, who works at a company called Grant Guru, and Maggie's great on the board with us. Johnette McCowan, who's the president of MCC locally here.
Mm-hmm.
And Jim Morrison, who's the chief medical officer at Baylor Scott & White. Patty Orr, the retired dean of libraries for Baylor. Mike Reeser, the chancellor and CEO at TSTC. So we've got the leaders of all three mm-hmm. higher education institutions in Waco and the surrounding community on our board. And they're great for a variety of reasons. Dave Roselli, also from Baylor, president for advancement there. Kim Stevens, who is a local entrepreneur, owns Blue Scout Media, also happens to sit on the Baylor Board of Regents. Liz Taylor works for Creative Waco. And bringing up last but not least, certainly, is Enid Wade, vice president and counsel for Baylor Scott & White Health System. So we've got it's a real powerhouse group of people. And it is a working board. This is not the kind of board where you just show up and get updates. We all take roles on various committees, striving to make the station better. And most importantly, I think, for listeners to this particular broadcast will be to note that it is a community board and it is a Baylor board. So mm-hmm. the call letters may have BU in the name, but this is not a Baylor station. It originates, of course, from Baylor campus, and we're very fortunate to have the facilities to do it from Baylor. But we depend on the community, and we depend on the community for board service. We depend on the community for volunteers. We depend on the community for funding, very importantly. To circle back to something Joe mentioned earlier about the number of employees here at the station, I think some listeners may have an idea that this is a bustling hub of activity with hundreds of people running around producing all the great local content that we get to hear every week. There's six people here, and they make it sound like we are a much bigger station than we are. And they do a bang up job of it. And I'm proud to be involved with an entity that can do that kind of work with what they're given. So anyway, for what it's worth, is the way the board works here, and I'll pitch it back to you.
Okay, we're here today discussing the state of the station at KWBU. I'm Maxie Parrish from the Baylor Journalism Department, and I'm joined by fellow board members Jason Cook, Vice President for Marketing and Communications at Baylor, Ben Lacey, Vice President for Commercial Lending at Community Bank and Trust in Waco, and, of course, Joe Riley, president and CEO of KWBU. And Joe, it's no secret. This is public radio, and public radio depends on listener support. Could you tell us a little bit about KWBU and its support model, the state of things with national public radio, where it's going, funding trends, and just kind of the monetary side of things?
Sure. Some people, and I run into people like this from time to time, some people might think that, you're an NPR station, you're taxpayer funded. Well, in fact, KWBU receives about 15% of its annual budget from in the form of a community service grant from in the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. All of the rest of the funding is local from right here. Now, let me tell you about that, because a big chunk of that is from individuals, and then there's a smaller chunk, but an important one that's from local businesses that support programming. And then about half of our funding comes from Baylor University. What we're seeing, and we're not alone in this, this is being seen across the country, we're seeing that listenership is up. You mentioned that we moved our transmitter. We saw our audience grow after that. Mm-hmm. And, of course, then during the presidential election last year, it grew more.
Mm-hmm.
Our audience is up 50% in the last 5 years. That's quite significant. However, over that same time period, for a variety of reasons, the number of people who support the station has been declining. And now it's fewer than 5 out of 100.
5%.
5%.
Wow.
Of our regular listeners actually provide funding for the station. We have, according to Nielsen, about 15,000 faithful weekly listeners to the station here in Waco. You talk about other stations around the country. There are about 900 NPR stations around the country. We're one of all of those. We're one of the smallest of all of those. And especially among the small stations, but all the stations are seeing some of these same trends in terms of listenership actually growing. 28 million listen to NPR every week. Mm-hmm. Listenership is growing for NPR, but those individuals who support in many of those markets, some move away, some pass away, some have changes in their finances, other reasons. That is declining somewhat. Other stations, because they're larger markets, have a bigger cushion. They have a larger base than we have. Waco simply has a small base, so we're feeling it. As we lose, see those individual supporters drift away for whatever that reason is, mm-hmm. we feel it more. And it's one of the reasons we're doing this program right now. And you've probably heard, as a listener on air, we're talking about Build the Base, our Build the Base campaign. That is our reaching out to say, in order to make up for the increase in expenses every year, those individuals stepping up is what will make up the difference there. Mm-hmm. That is how those bills are going to be paid, is with individuals, that other 95%.
Yeah. And I know, as a board member, we look at this strategically. What are some of the specific targets that the station is looking for in order to increase the membership in the way that it needs to?
We have a goal of, and this is a long, long-term goal,
mm-hmm.
We wanted it to be doable. So 6 new first-time donors per month, that to turn that trend around. That's mm-hmm, mm-hmm. that's one of our goals. We're going to have, and in fact, will be airing during a pledge drive, and we'll have it available at other times. A goal in our fall campaign of $55,000. That is as an on-air campaign, and we look for those who are current members to renew and consider, as our expenses go up, adjust your budget. That would make a big difference, and consider what you can do to increase the amount that you give. And that's another thing that we're asking to make up that gap. And we believe that it can be done. The people are listening. We know that we have those supporters. We know that you are here in Waco and concerned about this station. And so it's simply a matter of step by step, incrementally making those differences.
Mm-hmm. We are here today discussing the state of the station at KWBU. I'm Maxie Parrish from Baylor Journalism, and I'm joined by a couple of other KWBU board members: Jason Cook, Vice President for Marketing and Communications at Baylor; Ben Lacey, Senior Vice President of Commercial Lending at Community Bank and Trust here in Waco, and we just heard from Joe Riley talking about the state of the station. Now, I'd like to think for just a minute. We've talked about local stories. We've talked about how important this is for Waco. 5% of our listeners are helping to support the station. Obviously, we're involved. Ben, what would be some of the compelling things that you'd like for people to think about when it comes to this matters, we should support this?
Well, I think you just said it, that very specifically, the downtown segment that Austin Meek has every week. Even 8 or 9 years ago, that would have been unthinkable to run a downtown report from Waco, Texas.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And now he's got more than he can even get on his show every week.
Mm-hmm.
And he's great at it. His reporting is dynamic, and he's exciting to listen to, and there's always something fun to talk about. And that kind of thing, even if you just listen to it in the background, it makes living here better, and it is something that as a community member and as a citizen of this city, you should want to have. And that kind of stuff, and granted, that's entertainment level, but as I said before, NPR News, that's something you can't get it anywhere else. It's not like if the station was not broadcasting it, you could just turn the dial and find it elsewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's we have to support what we're producing here and what comes over the nationals too. It's just a service to our community to have it.
Yeah, and Jason, you spoke to the importance of the station to Baylor and the Waco community. What about personally? You moved here,
certainly.
Yeah, tell us about what attracted you.
Well, I think the Waco community, there's just a lot of dynamic activities happening, really a revitalization, and it's great that we have a station like KWBU. That's a part of the process, and the station is doing a really good job of providing opportunities for people to consume the content.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't listen over terrestrial radio, as we call it, at 103.3 FM, you know, we have a really great app that you can tap into, and you can stream the content and consume on your own time and things of that nature. So we're doing a lot of things to reach out and provide convenience to our listeners around the station. And the one thing that I would ask from a personal standpoint, but then also as an employee of Baylor, is don't depend only on Baylor for KWBU to support this station, this community resource. We need the entire community to really step up and partner with us. It is a community resource, and if it truly is that community resource, we need the community to step up and come along with us, because it's vitally important for our institution as a university, but it's really vitally important for Waco and our future growth.
Yeah, and I think it's our citizenry needs this type of reporting. You said earlier that the in-depth reporting is the hallmark of public radio, and I couldn't agree more. As a journalism professor, to see long-form journalism, depth, detail, nuance, subtlety, no bias. You know, there are very good content analysis studies that look at, and this source is perhaps the most unbiased in all of the media out there. And that's something that we need so very badly today. Joe, it's time to wrap it up. Any final thoughts?
I just want to tag on to what Jason just said. You know, individual support sends a message that this is important to the community. This is important to you. This sends a message to us, and it sends a message to Baylor, our key supporter of the station. And if the individual support doesn't come, it says, well, now wait a minute. What are we doing? Where are we spending our resources? But we know that support's there, and we know that you listen and that you love the station and that you support it. And so we just wanted to let you know how we're doing.
Thank you for listening. This has been the State of the Station at KWBU.